Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And you recognize him. We've got Sergeant Jamie Borden on the show. He's a former sergeant, of course. He's also in Las Vegas, and he's with the founder of Critical Incident Review at criticalincidentreview.com. So thank you so much, Jamie, for being on the show. I appreciate it. And hey, I'm looking forward to this. The beard is looking pretty good today.
I always keep it, full flag for Christmas time. You know, I'm, like Santa Claus on meth.
Yeah. When you pull up an intersection and like there's a family, of five next to you, do the kids just like say, "Hey, mom, dad, look, Santa Claus."
Oh, yeah. They all want me to pull over so they can sit on my lap and give me their wishes.
Oh, my gosh. Love it. All right. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And thanks to them, we've been on satellite radio since May the 5th. Also, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to Safeguard. During the live show, we're streaming to over a million followers right now on social media. And also, TwoBells.com. They built their new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. So please check that out. You get cool gear like the shirt that I'm wearing. And we don't make any money off of the gear. When I'm getting ready to go to Vegas, like this year, when I'm buying gear, I pay the same exact thing that you guys pay for all for the shirts and everything that I buy. And I buy it the same way. I go online, go to our store, and I make my purchase. So it really is rock bottom prices. And also fishorlandobass.com. You know, Zach has got a bass fishing charter in Orlando. So the next time you're taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney, hand them the credit card or the cash, the cold hard cash, Jamie, and let them go have fun. Hook up with Zach, do the bass fishing charter with fishorlandobass.com. Or if you're feeling very adventurous, do the Florida alligator hunting, and it's catching and relocating alligators. Wow, what a time! So And if you do that, I want pictures and video.
Yeah, relocated to suitcases, belts, and boots.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's always a possibility.
That's called I repurpose. I don't relocate.
Repurpose. I got you. And hey, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and finally Travis Shades with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? The news cycle is ridiculous. So Bondi Beach terrorists were father and son who legally owned six guns despite tough firearm laws over there in Australia. So we're going to be covering that one, and it's not pretty. And then we've got, the Brown, the Ivy League Brown University thing. Jamie might have a little bit of information on that. I couldn't even finish my research because of all the other stuff going on. We do have another story, and I don't really know how much we're going to be able to get into it, but it was the Rod Reiner and his wife were apparently found stabbed to death. And according to the New York Times, his son has been arrested. If we have time, we'll talk about that a little bit. But again, we're just in the preliminary stages of gathering info, and there's really been so much on the plate, it's hard to stay up. We have and other stories that I did have time to research further. A woman suffers severe burns in a chemical attack at a Georgia park. Guys, this is in Savannah. I was just there with my wife walking around, and this happened. And I really, Jamie, wanted to cover this because there's a lot of people that didn't grow up in the hood like I did, right? Work in the hood and knowing how these black families, particularly black women, it's a traditional thing, where they throw potash or boiling water, on their boyfriends or husbands when they get upset at them and stuff. It's like a cultural thing. And I just want people to, when they hear what happened to this woman in this Georgia park in Savannah, and if people don't think that this is a deadly force situation, they may want to rethink that. That's the purpose in covering this. We got a Ricardo Ware. He was standing in the middle of the street with a gun when he was fatally shot by police, and that was in Shreveport. And then we got another one, same agency, Brandon Davenport, fatally shot while armed with a gun after he attempts to carjack somebody. San Diego case historic $30 million payout to a family of a teenager that was fatally shot by police. And then we have an officer pinned and dragged by a driver during a traffic stop. We still get cops getting, jammed up by this stuff. So those are the stories, that we have. So look, on a lighter note, before we cover all this other stuff, Jamie, I went to a clay shoot. So So one of our panelists, Chief John Newman, he's a former assistant chief with Tampa Police Department, and now he's the chief for Hillsborough County Schools, the third largest school district in the state of Florida, and I believe the fifth or seventh largest in the entire country. And they do a charity golf tournament or clay shoot, and they raise money for charity. And I've been lucky enough to been asked to MC the event over the last 3 or 4 years or so. So I was there over the weekend on Saturday. And so I go there and I always look, they got raffle items. I mean, they've got something, they had like the largest TV was like a 65 or a 70 some inch. It was like, it was massive. Maybe it was even, was it 80? It was, it, I never heard, I never
probably
heard
an 80 inch. Large. It's bringing a drive into your home.
It may have, 85 seems to ring a bell now. So maybe it was an 80. I'm assuming 85. It was huge. And then we had a lot of other big screen TVs too. But anyhow, I look at the raffle items and there was no whiskey or bourbon this time. They had cigars, but I'm not really a cigar smoker because of the tongue cancer thing that I had, you know, years ago. So I go down to the firearm end of it and they've got a lot. They got, you know, shotguns. They got shotguns with, you know, magazine loads, all kinds of stuff. And but I am in the market. I'm switching from my Taurus Slim 9mm that I carry to the SIG 365. And they had two 365 SIGs there. One was a larger than the other one. One was they call them a micro compact gun now instead of just the compacts, right? So it is small, but it has more rounds than what I have in my Taurus Slim. My Taurus Slim, at six in the mag and one in the chamber, and this sucker is 10 in the mag and one in the chamber. So it's a lot more firepower and it's smaller. It's crazy. It's all about how the ammo is stacked in the magazine, you know, single, alternating, or, you know, or double stack. So anyhow, I went and bought $100 worth of raffle tickets, and it's a huge slew of them. And, and I decided last year I bought, I think 100, and I split them between two, I didn't want anything. So I put them all in for the SIG 365 and I'm calling the winners. I got some like 12-year-old kid draw and he draws a ticket. I see my name on it and I have the kid read it out over the PA just so it looks like it's, everybody knows it's on the up and up and stuff. So I came home with a SIG 365 and for $100. And
nice, man. Did you get any heat for being the MC and winning the main raffle?
No. It wasn't the main raffle. Believe me, it wasn't the main. They had so many nicer guns. This is about a $500 gun for people who want to know. Yeah. But I was going to have to get one, and I've been waiting because I didn't really want to spend the money. I wanted to wait until I get, you know, a little bit more money saved up. But this, anyhow, I've been carrying it all weekend. It's been great. So I'm excited. So what a great way to start off, you know, the weekend.
Never need it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, hopefully I'll never need it, you know, and if I do, hopefully I'll be rolling with someone like you, you know, so I can just, you know, let you be my bodyguard, you know, literally my human shield. And all right. So here we go to the not so great stuff. So Bondi Beach. So NewYorkPost.com. I thought it was the most up-to-date article. Bondi Beach terrorists were father and son who legally owned six guns despite tough firearms laws there in Australia. So look, I'm not going to give the names of the gunmen. I don't like doing that in situations like this, but the two gunmen, they opened fire on Australia's Bondi Beach. I'm sure most people that are in the news, or even if you're not trying to see it, I'm sure you've seen the video clips, or at least one of them, where thousands of Jews were celebrating Hanukkah, and this duo, believed to be father and son, they legally own these guns. It gives their names. The son was 24, father was 50 years old. They allegedly stormed the family-friendly Chanukah by the Sea event, armed with shotguns and bolt-action rifle, killing at least 15 and injuring 40 more in Sunday's terror attack at Sydney's world-famous beach. And this is according to this New South Wales police. They announced this on Monday, today. The father was killed at the scene during a shootout with police, and he's part of a gun club. And this is how he got around, skirted the firearm laws. Part of a gun club, held a recreational hunting license for over a decade. He met the eligibility criteria for a firearms license, according to New South Wales Police Commissioner Mal Layan, who told reporters during a press conference this information. He's had a license since 2015, allowing him to legally own long arms that he had as registered guns, according to the commissioner. He goes on to say that the shooting erupted on Sunday night despite Australia cracking down on firearms following the 1996 mass shooting in Port Arthur, Tasmania. That's where 35 were killed and 24 wounded. Now, semi-automatic rifles were banned in the country and enacted a strict registration and purchasing restriction process for all weapons. And New South Wales Premier Chris Minns said that officials were considering changing state gun laws again after all this stuff goes down, which I kind of, you know, you want more good guys with guns. They always want to, you know, adjust the laws when these bad guys show up with weapons and skirt the system. And it just drives me crazy. So I know we're coming up on our first break, but let me get this last part out if I can. In addition to the children, the victims include a rabbi and a Holocaust survivor. The horrific event unfolded as about 1,000 people gathered for the Jewish holiday on this particular beach. So I'm going to end it there. A little bit more information when we come back from a commercial break, and then we're going to talk about this. Guys, stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And when you throw the online option, I mean, it's limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about what really is most important here. It's supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com, and they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of this show, get ready to write it down, Jamie. It's Radio15. That is the code that's going to get you 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. Radio15 off of most purchases. And hey, they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card. They'll be your new best friends. They have pants. I'm wearing my new Mission Made pants that I got hooked up with. These are fantastic. Gauls.com. All right, now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And of course, they're our satellite sponsor. And you know, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, we all know their flagship product. We all know by now it's called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip and Jamie sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. And I'm chuckling because I'm reading some of the comments on Facebook. And we've got Michael Von Slock, saying, hey, let Patty use the Glove on Chip. And then we got Mary Lou Bartlett's watching the show. I don't know if her husband Brett knows that or not. But Andrea Goodman, Betty Dunn, we got a lot of people watching the show. Don Boat. So thanks for watching the show, guys. Hey, we left off talking about, you know, the news. One of the main news. Well, I mean, you know, we've got the Rob Reiner now thing going on. But this is one of the main news items going on right now. And this horrific attack, you know, that happened in Australia. So I'll read the article or the title again. Bondi Beach terrorists were father and son who legally owned 6 guns despite tough firearm laws. And, you know, the count, we've got at least 15 killed and 40 more injured in that terror attack that happened on Sunday. So where I left off, there were 1,000 people gathered on the beach for the holiday, popular beach, and beachgoers frantically were scattering, screaming as gunshots are ringing out for 10 minutes. Imagine for 10 minutes, guys. Now, remember, it's not like the U.S. where you got a lot of, you know, good guys with guns around, right? And then we got a fruit seller. This is the unsung hero, Jamie. I know you're a fan already because you mentioned him, you know, at the beginning of the show. I will give his name, Ahmed Al-Ahmed. And, 43 years old. He bravely, there's a great video of this guy. He's hiding behind like a parked car. This bad guy who ended up, the father, shooter father ended up getting killed. The son is the one that survived. I'm assuming that this was the son that he got in a scrap with. You think that's
it? Was.
It was.
That's accurate. Okay. Yes.
So this is the son. So look, this good guy, Ahmed, he's 43 years old. And I'm going to go back up to my notes. The son is 24 years old. So son's about half his age, and the father, of course, the one that died, is 50. So this hero goes up, and he waits till his moment. Son takes a shot with a long gun, and he sneaks up on him and he grabs him. They say he tackled him. It's more like a bear hug, and he wrestles the weapon away from the bad guy. And then he points it at him. Now, he didn't shoot him, but then he starts going away. But Ahmed ends up getting shot twice. And it looks like the father, which was at an elevated level, ends up shooting with the rifle at the guy that attacked his son and ends up shooting Ahmed a couple of times. Ahmed had to go to the hospital, got surgery. Looks like he's going to be okay. Father ended up getting in a shootout with the police, ended up dying. And they say it's the deadliest mass shooting in Australia in nearly 30 years. So that said, Sergeant Jamie.
Yeah, it was just interesting to watch that video of Ahmed as he's approaching, because you can see the suspect firing and picking his shots, and he's focused downrange, and Ahmed comes up from the side and wraps that weapon up. And that was, it was just, you can see the clarity of thought process on this guy. He's got to do something. He's unarmed, but he's effective at wrapping that weapon up, and just a true heroic move by this guy. And I believe that, and I'm not alone, that his actions probably saved 30 lives. You know what I mean? And yeah. Because they just don't have. And then, you know, the one thing I wanted to talk about here is that they keep in the headlines, they keep talking about how they were legal gun owners. And, you know, this whole concept of people that pass background tests, there's no telling what someone's planning. And whether the weapons are licensed or not licensed, it would be ridiculous to think that these individuals with this kind of malevolent plan wouldn't be able to conjure up weapons from some place, right? And one of the other important factors that I looked at this was that one of them was on a list that they were concerned about, but in terms of, you know, activity, but wasn't a concern for a deadly attack. And I don't know if you saw that in any of the the news, but it just goes to say that we just don't know, which, you know, in America, you know, I don't leave home. I literally left to go to a restaurant. I got to the restaurant, realized I didn't have my 357 ultralight, and turned around and went back home to get my weapon. I just, you know what I mean? I don't forget it very often. Once in a while I do, but listen, you know, in today's day and age, you know, the safety of our society relies on those that will engage in these critical incidents. And we need, you know, the more people that are armed in our society, and this is my personal opinions, this is not a reflection of LEO Roundtable. I think that the more people that are armed in our society is going to be a more polite, certainly a safer society for those that aren't able to protect themselves. And, you know, I don't want people to get hung up on the fact that somebody is legally licensed to own a weapon. Weapons are available to everyone everywhere. And as you can tell, you know, you can see with the Australian shooting, no one had weapons. It was a 10-minute long endeavor where a firefight eventually took the main shooter out, who was the only one that was still able to fight back. 10 minutes is a long time when you're talking about a beach. I'm surprised that more people weren't injured or killed. And as tragic as it is, you know, I think the Australian police did a great job, but it's just we live in a crazy time right now, and it's not just our own soil. It's everywhere.
Yeah, guys, just don't respond by limiting the ability to get guns for good guys, because bad guys can always, I assure you, always can get a hold of weapons, because they're bad guys. They don't care what the laws say. They can get them.
They don't care where they come from. And here's the thing. The harder it is to get a weapon, the fewer good guys, good families are going to have weapons. You know, in Sweden, if you own a home, I believe it's Sweden, if you own a home, you're mandated to own a fully automatic weapon and have training with it. It's a very polite society. And I, you know, I don't want to get into numbers or anything like that, but that's, you know, gun control is the opposite in these countries that rely on their own civil process and the civilians in their country to protect themselves and to protect their country. So they make it a mandate. And at least several years ago, it was a mandate that they, if you were a registered homeowner, you were also a registered firearm owner. So yeah, it's just interesting. And in that country, all good guys have guns, right? Bad guys have the guns too. But they're going to have them regardless. And I think that's the age old argument. And I think everybody understands that.
You know, I have to admit, I'm a little worried about this. I'm assuming he's a Muslim good guy in the Muslim community over there, because he took one of the bad Muslim guys out and thwarted that. So I'm a little concerned for him. But hey, we're coming up on our second commercial break. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. You can visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that measures every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of the primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, that is AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And we're joined by Sergeant Jamie Borden. He is with Critical Incident Review at CriticalIncidentReview.com. And I need to have another shot of my energy drink here. I'm slowing down. But anyhow, thank you so much, Jamie, for being on the show. We've been talking about just the massacre that happened in Australia and coming down with that. I'd like to, you know, I don't want the whole show to be about all the stuff. We're already kind of halfway through the show now. I do want to mention that we are aware of what happened at Brown University. Jamie, would you mind just giving just what you know about that? Because you've got a little bit more scoop on that than I do. And then I'll touch the Reiner thing real quick.
Yeah. I mean, all I was able to find out is that there's very little information known at this point. So, you know, outside of the fact that it's just another mass shooting in the list of mass shootings that have happened over the last 6 months, I think because they're, you know, a suspect, I believe, is still outstanding on that. I'm not exactly sure where that stands at this point, but they just aren't releasing a lot of information on Brown. What I do know is I'm doing a webinar with a surgeon. His name is Dr. Alan J. Hamilton. He's a neuroscientist and neurosurgeon, and he's also in charge of security at Arizona University Tucson. And they're putting an immense amount of pressure on the safety of these schools. And it's nice to have somebody. He's a decorated veteran, a Marine veteran, and one of the brightest neuroscientists I've ever had the opportunity to work with. And he is in charge of getting this security off the ground. And I don't think they can do enough. I think it's important.
You know, how can people watch that webinar? Is that available to the general public, or?
It is. It's on Police One. And that's this Friday. And what it talks about is training the brain, right? It's about the neuroscience behind how we develop better officers based on what we know of the science. And it goes much deeper than people would recognize. It's not just about action versus reaction. There's a whole cavalcade of stressors that can affect the learning process and how that translates into reality when the consequences are real and not just organizational, you know, getting a passing grade. Right. So it's an interesting topic. And I think trainers, investigators, I think it's right in line with what needs to be on the forefront of education for officers from the time they hit the academy.
So Police One on Friday?
Police One on Friday. Yeah, I believe it's right. You can get on Police One and look for it. I think it's at 9 Central Time or something like that.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Well, thank you. And guys, I think that New York Times is covering the Reiner thing the best, to be honest with you. I've looked at many sources, and they're just like, they're up to date. I mean, up to the second. So nytimes.com, and they're giving live updates. So it says that, look, the title is Reiner's son arrested after a director and his wife found stabbed. And this is apparently LAPD is involved in this. So they say that the son of Hollywood director Rob Reiner, and remember, you know, Meathead from what was the show? Was it All in the Family? Was that what it was called with Archie Bunker and
yes,
and all the family.
That's right.
And
yep.
So Rob Reiner, Meathead, and Michelle Singer Reiner. So their son apparently has been arrested after they were found dead in their LA home, according to online jail records that were viewed today. The couple were found stabbed to death on Sunday, which I'd heard about last night, in an apparent homicide. But what a way to go. And that, of course, tells you that it's up close and personal. It's not like, you know, you're not detached from the, it's somebody that really is motivated or hating someone that do that normally. Anyhow, so that's the son there. They give his name out, and I'll wait till all this gets confirmed. I mean, it's in the New York Times, but he's 32 years old, arrested Sunday night, $4 million bail. So that's the information. Reiner, Rob Reiner, who this guy, the stuff that he's been involved with and producing stuff, it is ridiculous. When I started, when my wife was reading the list off to me, there is stuff I didn't even know that he was involved with that he produced and stuff. This guy was so gifted and talented. Oh my gosh, 78 years old, which is really not that young. They've got a This Is Spinal Tap, When Harry Met Sally. Can you believe The Princess Bride, just for a few? I mean,
yeah.
How sad that this guy is taken from us. Wow. So yeah, that's too bad. So we'll follow. Any words on this before we go to our regular stuff that we're going to talk about, Jamie?
No, that sums it up. And all I would say is just, you know, as part of our society, just be aware, be armed if you can be, and make good decisions.
And guys, look, Reiner, from what I understand and from what I remember, a pretty liberal guy, that has no equation or there. That has nothing to do with this. You know, it is just, this guy was so gifted and talented and made my life so much happier for some of the stuff that he's done. I mean, When Harry Met Sally, I mean, what people have tried to duplicate what he created just with that one alone. So yeah, just a sad day. Let's go and talk on something that, and I'm going to go to that update article about the woman in the Georgia park, if that's okay, Jamie. ABC yeah. News. And so abcnews.go.com, woman suffered severe burns in a chemical attack at a Georgia park. You know, we have an officer that has been convicted because he shot and killed a woman that was in motion of throwing a pot of boiling water on him. And I have seen the effects of that. Normally, the black community will use like potash, which will severely scar. It'll turn any black man white instantly wherever it hits. And it scars, it dyes you, it bleaches you permanently. But I always tell the story, in my particular case, the first time I saw it done, I got the call and she thought he was cheating on her. She waits till he sleeps. She glue lids his eyelids shut. She takes a pot of boiling water and she starts throwing it on him. And when I get there, there's blood everywhere. His eyes were open, but he had to force them open. And he was just the scarring and stuff. And of course, for deadly force, you don't have to be in fear of death. It's great bodily injury does the trick as well. So when I read this story, guys, if people are still of the opinion that it's not a lethal force situation, think about this. Woman suffers severe burns, a chemical attack at Georgia Park, Savannah, where I was just at recently with my wife. A Georgia woman has been hospitalized with severe burns after someone poured a corrosive chemical onto her head while she's walking through a public park in Savannah. And this is according to the victim's son and close friend. Savannah police confirmed they're searching for a suspect in the chemical attack at Forsyth Park. It's one of the city's landmark, you know, places, that, you know, runners, picnic, you know, people, children playing, all that stuff. The victim, 46-year-old Ashley, Wasenki, she's being treated for second and third degree burns at the burn center in Augusta, according to her son and the Associated Press. Her son said that the injuries cover roughly half of her body, including her scalp, face, hands, and legs. I saw a picture of her. She looked like a mummy. I mean, you could barely see her eyes. And they say they still don't know who did it. He said his mother was walking laps in the park on Wednesday night after attending a Christmas program at a nearby church. And she told her family and friends that when she's walking along the sidewalk on the park's perimeter, she noticed a shadow of someone approaching her from behind. And when she turns to face the person, he pours some kind of liquid over her head. And so she initially said, "Hey, like, why are you pouring water on me?" But then her skin started to burn and she looked down at her pants and they're starting to burn off her body. And she started to scream. And the FBI is actually involved in this as well. So Jamie
Borden. They're still trying to figure out what the chemical was, right? I mean, just starting out with that and right. the things that kind of the points of interest, she had a key fob in her pocket and the key fob melted the plastic. So this, whatever this was, I mean, it wasn't chlorine or anything like that, right? I mean, at least not just raw chlorine. This was something extremely caustic. And the woman wasn't robbed. It was 100% just a random, what appears to be a random act. They interviewed her and you know, she didn't have any known enemies out on walking laps around the park. And this malevolent, unnecessary attack happens. It just, you know, it just begs the question, why are these things happening right now? What is it? Just it feels like, and these, remember, these are our headline stories that we get the brunt of, and Elio Roundtable brings up all of these headlines. So it's not happening rampantly around the country, but it most certainly is happening more often than it ever has before. Involved shootings, ambushes, needless hate-based attacks, right? Our society is certainly in a rough spot, if you will. And you know, beyond that, the only question I've got is why, you know, what's the motivation for something like this? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
You know, the tie-in, we've got Sonia Macy's, the female, the black female that was, and I say black because there's a correlation there. But she's 36 years old, and she was shot by a Sangamon County Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson, who's been charged with killing her. But of course, she was in motion with a pot of boiling water when it ended up taking her out. And it's hard to find the video because the video that they've been showing shows it from the other officer's body cam, and you can't really tell how great the threat was, but you have to search hard. But if you find that video, you see her coming up from behind a counter, kitchen counter, in motion, getting ready to dump that on them. Guys, we're coming up on our third commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It doesn't get any better than that. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Sergeant Jamie Borden from Critical Incident Review. And we just talked about the chemical attack in Savannah, Georgia, which is kind of weird because, you know, I was there not long ago, and just imagine someone coming up behind you and just dumping some, I mean, you know, pot of boiling water is bad. Potash, especially if you're black, is even worse, right? And now this, we don't even know what the chemical was, but you talked about the key fob being burned in her pants or burning up. It's just, that is some scary stuff. But the tie-in, of course, I was really trying to make is that when it comes to lethal force, and the correlation and the justification for using it, you told a jury story that was kind of horrific earlier in the segment, yeah. Jamie, and I just want these guys to get it right. I want people, I know that you have to do what a reasonable officer would do in the same set of circumstances, but people need to understand that if you're in fear of great bodily injury or death, but even great bodily injury, if a reasonable officer would have been, and sometimes you don't know what you don't know, but having seen the effects of just boiling water, much less potash or chemicals, it's a no-brainer. It's not even a question of whether it's a legitimate use of force, as long as that person's in fear, and they should be, but it should be justified in my opinion.
Yeah, well, and there's other components that go into that too, Chip. You know, like this woman was attacked and surprised, with no knowledge. This is a shadow coming out of the, in some of these cases.
I'm talking for cops though, that are dealing with this is what is the. you know, for the most
part. Right. And that's what, yeah, my point is that in all of these cases, there's a much deeper well of information that has to be looked at, right? Is there, and it always comes down to options, right? There's two edges to the sword on any of these arguments. There's, is there a viable threat of substantial bodily harm or death? The answer is yes. Is there something else that could have been done to mitigate it? The answer is yes. Does that mean that it's not reasonable? That's the unknown, right? There's always this spider web of information that has to be considered in those cases, especially if it's not a surprise, if it's happening, you know, in a process. But the problem is that expectation then plays a role. Anyways, that's a whole, I could speak about that for 6 hours. I was actually involved in the Sonia Massey case a little bit with those attorneys, and it was a tough thing to navigate for them. Very tough. And they ended up, of course, losing that case.
Yeah. Just, and I, wow. Yeah, you're right. We, you know, we may have to devote maybe not a new show, a radio show, but maybe a podcast to that. That would definitely be an interesting option. Get some of the people, you know, on the defense involved in that. That would be kind of cool. But I really hope to see this guy. I know that now they're asking for a new jury and stuff, or new trial. So we'll see what happens. But moving along, you know, I'm gonna let you pick the next story because I know we've only got 6 minutes, and we'll probably, because we get it so deep into it, we may only be able to cover this one. So we've got the guy standing in the middle of the street. And these are in Louisiana. The guy in the middle of the street with the gun when he ends up being fatally shot. But you remember the female that approaches with the gun.
Let's talk about that one.
You want that one? Okay.
Yeah.
So here we go. And I try to put these in order of I hate to say use the word sensationalism, but you know, there are so many great stories that just are not good for talk shows or radio if there's really nothing to talk about. So the more
right.
flags and stuff there are, the more the talk about it really makes it more interesting. So I think this one fits the bill pretty good. Rumble.com.
It does.
This is Butter, our favorite law enforcement video channel. Ricardo Ware is standing in the middle of a street with a gun when he ends up being fatally shot by police.
Well, just drop the gun.
Drop it.
That's actually the title of the story. So on May the 10th, we got Shreveport police officers respond to a 911 call about this guy, Ricardo Ware, 44 years old. He had just fatally shot his brother-in-law, Randall Jack, who was 35. And so Mrs. Ware, you know, his wife indicated that her brother was walking around on the street. Let me think about this now, about Ricardo Ware, 44. It says that Mrs. Ware indicated that her brother was walking around the street in front of his residence, still armed with a gun. So I guess it was, okay, not husband, but her brother. So I got brother, that wrong. Right. Okay. So approximately, I thought I'd correct myself because I know Jamie will on live radio. So I figured I might as well just, you know, eat the bullet, right? So at 7:12 p.m., officers get dispatched to the scene. They find our bad guy standing, in the middle of the street. And it's a residential street, by the way. He's still armed with a gun. And he was encouraged by relatives and police to drop his weapon. And Ware responded to the police, hey, it's between us. And police and relatives continued to ask him to drop his gun. And there were 6 taser deployments in an effort to take him down. And police and relatives continued to encourage him to drop the gun. And Ware yelled to one officer, hey, whatever, man. And turning towards the officer, discharging his weapon. And that's when the officers returned fire. So not a lot of information in there, but have no fear. We have show notes. So if you start watching this, it's not that long of a video, but I think it's around 10 minutes or less. But if you jump to 2:44, you get to watch dash cam as our you see our female officer with a pistol. She ends up leaving the cover and she approaches the suspect in the middle of the street. Now he's armed with a pistol, but she leaves her police car cover. Now it looks like she's from a distance, but it is hard to tell with dash cams and body cams. And so she's got a pistol out. And you see her walking in front of her car. So there's really nothing between him and her. She's approaching him, and then she walks off to the right out of the roadway. And now she's in open field, still approaching him. And then you have, he had just shot his brother-in-law, of course, and killed him. And then shots ended up being fired at 3:31, which is roughly about 45 seconds later. Now, all of a sudden, we jump to the body-worn camera that the female is wearing, and that's at 4:25. And at some point, you can actually see her holding 2 weapons. She's got, in her left hand, she's got the pistol and she's got the taser in her right hand. At 4:49, she fires the first of 6 taser deployments. Remember, there's nothing between him and her. And 6 taser deployments and shots end up being fired at 5:21 as the suspect decides to sprint across the residential street towards another officer. And what you cannot see is that, at least in this clip, there is an officer who has a long gun that I wasn't aware of. And so, but he doesn't take a shot until the suspect points the gun at him, shoots at him, and then he takes the suspect out. And then our female starts firing her pistol while she's still got her taser, and she ends up finally dumping the taser down, but she had, you know, 2 weapons in her hand, you know, at that time as well. So there's a lot of stuff going on. We've only got close to 2.5 minutes. Jamie, take it from here.
So, and here's what's really interesting about this to me, and I see this in case after case after case. We have a subject that's got a weapon. He's reported it as having a weapon. They can see the weapon in his hand. And what starts to happen in that cognitive space, right? The officer's decisions start to lead them into unsafe componentry, into unsafe environments, right? They leave cover. And they've got in their mind that they've got to move to contact or close the gap to use a taser. And here's where the quandary is at. A taser is not the right implement for somebody who's just murdered someone and has a weapon in their hand. And I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking this officer, but what I am identifying here is that there's disconnects in how we train de-escalation. Right? Officers feel like if they can't reach a level of de-escalation, that they have failed. You hear her saying, drop the weapon. It's going to work out best for you if you drop the weapon. She's literally very concise in what she's saying. She's attempting to establish communication. Well, communication cannot be established with someone who doesn't want to listen. And this person is clearly not listening. So what happens is officers think that because de-escalation has failed, that they have failed to de-escalate. And that is 100% not correct. Go ahead.
No, I just say we got 1 minute, but I you know, in knowing that, well, I don't know what I don't know, but I know at least one officer had a long gun. It would have been nice to have known. I don't know if she was aware of that or not. I don't know if everybody had long guns, if she left a long gun in the car, which would have been a horrific decision, in my opinion. But it would have been nice if you got a guy and the long gun guy was using cover and he had a long gun. I can't for the life of me understand why she approached this guy without cover. If you got a dude with a long gun there to take care of business.
because there's no shared knowledge of this thing. She's operating based on her training and her heuristic, and she's hung up on that de-escalation. I can see it. I can see it happening every second. She's hung up on that de-escalation component. That's another podcast for us to do at some point, because this is the failure that we're seeing in these cases, is this failure to de-escalate. That's not the case.
Wow. Yeah. And no one's seen more of these than you, Jamie. Or can break it down and knows what the psyche, what's going on as well too. And that, of course, the camera just can't capture all that.
It doesn't. And another thing to consider is what that camera is showing. It looks like this guy's 40 yards away. He's not. He is. Yeah. He is much closer to her. She's deploying the taser. He's much closer to her.
And 200 feet.
Exactly. Yeah. And it looks like he's that distant. So, you know, all of our decisions and all of our rhetoric is based off of a complete lie that the video is showing, right? That's my whole other field of expertise in forensic video review and examination. Well, that's another podcast.
Jamie.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jamie Borden, being on the show. CriticalIncidentReview.com, guys. And want to mention thewoundedblue.org, galls.com, compliantechnologies.com, aeroprecisionusa.com, gunlearn, my Medicare safeguard recruiting, two bells and fish, orlandobass.com. Thanks, guys. We'll see you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.